From Oak Ridge to Byron and back to Fanshawe College, I'm tackling London's hottest topics, and I'm not shying away. You're tuned into College Confidential with Mitch Berman on 106.9 DX.
Supreme Court of Canada's the ones who stood between marijuana and all these cancer cures and all these sick people who would have been alive today, and you got blood on your hands, and it's time for the Supreme Court of Canada to say, oops, sorry. All right? And I mean it. The Supreme Court of Canada are responsible for the hundreds of thousands of extra deaths we've had in Canada due to the prohibition of this miracle herb.
That was a little small quote from John Turmel on College Confidential here on 106.9 The X with your host, of course, Mitch Berman. And in case you're just tuning into College Confidential, our topic of discussion today is a London native, Mike Spottiswood, and the legal issues he's come in contact with after being caught in possession of 20 small marijuana plants 5 months before his MMAR license was approved. Now, in case you're just tuning in, the MMAR license is the Medicinal Marijuana Acceptance Regulations. And another issue we come into contact with has to do with the MMAR, and it's the cultivating and growing of marijuana plants inside the comfort of a licensed person home. When you are granted your MMAR, you have the opportunity to apply again and do some more paperwork so that you can legally produce and grow marijuana plants in your house. Now, many speculations have arose over this, as there are only 15 inspectors nationwide. 15 inspectors nationwide in a country of 32 million people. And they are there to ensure that no trafficking or possession is involved, besides for medicinal use, of course. Now, Health Canada has considered switching to commercially owned production companies, companies that can be regulated and monitored, unlike the basement grow-up that could be in the mix. Coming up in the show, we're joined by Mike Spottiswood. He's going to be talking to us and discussing his hardships obtaining the license and the hard time he has had since he was granted his paperwork. Also, we're going to be touching on certain precedents that have been laid out in the past that might benefit Mike's trial. But right now, John's back on the line with us. And John, Canadian doctors have generally boycotted the admittance of MedPot. What changes can be made so that those who need marijuana, their illness, and access it easier than it is now?
First of all, marijuana should be completely decriminalized so that I can get it at a farmer's market at best prices. It's never killed anybody. It's as harmless as tomatoes, better for us probably. That's step one. Presume they want some sort of controls. Well, again, just make it available like alcohol, but sure, just make it available. But I think kids got a right to cannabis too, because they're going to be getting all the Fukushima cancers too, and they're going to be getting all the bad things that could be prevented if we used it. So it's important that everybody be able to get access to this fast, and because I can prove, I think, with logic and math, that all of these myriad of diseases it's good for, this miracle herb, once you got it, got to be useful in a preventative way. So the judges and the judiciary are the only guys who are keeping this miracle substance illegal, and they're responsible. They got blood on their hands. So in my response, his response that I wrote, I threw in at the very last thing, Supreme Court of Canada's the ones who stood between marijuana and all these cancer cures and all these sick people who would have been alive today, and you got blood on your hands, and it's time for the Supreme Court of Canada to say, oops, sorry. All right? And I mean it. The Supreme Court of Canada are responsible for the hundreds of thousands of extra deaths we've had in Canada due to the prohibition of this miracle herb.
So, John, we have one more question here on College Confidential. What message, in a quick short line, what message do you want to send to those who have the wrong perception about medicinal marijuana and the benefits it has for those who need it?
Well, what are you stupid? Go on the internet and do some homework. It's not as if the information isn't available. Your only excuse, sir, is that you were too lazy to try and find out. Correct?
You're absolutely correct.
I think people
assume a little bit of ignorance when it comes to this topic, because it is a touchy subject, and it is an illegal drug aiding for medication. But what it ultimately comes down to is people feeling better. And when they're sick, they need medication. And so what? It could be Oxycontin. It could be Percocet, which is just as highly addictive as any other drug.
But this is the most wonderful non-addictive substance it is. This is about as addictive as chocolate ice cream. You want it if it's there, and you can do without it if it's not.
Punching you in the mouth with London's hottest news. You're listening to College Confidential with Mitch Berman on The X.
College Confidential with Mitch Berman. You know the drill. Quick question for you guys. I was doing some research, and how come I'm seeing marijuana everywhere on every website with an H instead of a J? I thought it was a typo on the first website that I was on, but I keep on seeing it over and over again. But that's beside the point. Now that we've heard from an outsider's perspective, it's time to hear from the center of the story right now. Before we get to Mike on the line, we're discussing his legal troubles with the law and arguing that he should not be charged for possession of marijuana because he was already in the process of obtaining a license. If someone is in the process of making a change but is going through a little diversity at the time, why not give them the benefit of the doubt? I mean, they've had his car impounded for roughly a year or two now, and he has paid several legal fees and has had an increasing amount of pain because of his inability to commute. All of this so he could use the medication that works the best for him. You must have heard me talk about the Hertzig case. There were both epic trials that resulted in new precedents being put in place. The Hertzig decision specifically created a rule that the use of marijuana without a license can be justified based on your efforts to prove your health record in the past and that you've attempted to apply for a license. Joining me now on the show is Mike Spottiswood, a London native who seems to have gotten stuck in a little sticky situation with the law. So unfortunately, you've spent the last 2 years tied up in legal woos, all because smoking pot is the only aid to your illness. Can you explain to the listeners the issue and trouble finding physicians that are willing to put their name down to allow you to receive this aid?
Doctors are, by large, they are boycotting this medical marijuana because Health Canada has not really endorsed it properly.
Mm-hmm.
To make it easier for doctors to join in and sign without retribution. As a matter of fact, Health Canada assigned over 23,000 doctors in Canada. They all got a letter asking them to boycott this medical marijuana access regulations.
Isn't that kind of unconstitutional to like our rights?
It is.
As
it's very
humans?
Unconstitutional, and so is this law. This law has been dead since 2003, especially against sick people. This is. You know, the CDSA on cannabis is a dead law. It has been for a very long time, and the justice system and the police around our country, okay, have been victimizing sick people and portraying them as criminals in the public, ruining their reputation, charging their children, their spouses, and basically trying to ruin their lives all for money.
So. Because so many doctors have been told to not endorse the use of medical marijuana, does it almost become uncomfortable to go and approach them for such a thing like MedPot?
Oh, absolutely. You just see what I've been through. I lost my doctor in 2005 when I got tired of using my medicine in a closet. So
yeah.
I came out and asked my doctor in 2005 because in 2001 we had Terry Parker Day and the emergence of the MMAR. So I asked my doctor point blank in 2005, and he said he'd think about it. Within 2 weeks, I received a letter in the mail stating he couldn't see me no more.
Wow.
So I lost my doctor and was a very sick man, and I had my daughter. I was and I was going to walk-in clinics with this myriad of medical issues that I've been dealing with.
And that's not what you want to deal with. When you have such a medical record like yourself, you want to deal with someone that you're very comfortable with because you've been going to them for so long.
Well, the story's bigger than that. My marriage broke up in 06. I moved back up north to the Owenstown area, and lo and behold, my old doctor took me back in, and he knew I used cannabis but wouldn't sign me. I didn't come right out and ask him. I was too afraid.
Yeah, it's an awkward position.
Well, I was a little shell-shocked. So, and then I moved back to the London area in 2009, and by 2011, I had been charged, and I came right out and asked my doctor because I had no choice at this time.
Yeah.
I had been charged. I told him I'd been charged, and then he said if I qualified, he would sign. But I couldn't help but note that he said it kind of begrudgingly.
So let me ask you about the charge. Yeah. You were caught in your Honda Civic with 20 plants of marijuana, and that's
20 small plants that came off of a hydroponic table. The 20 plants wasn't a lot.
But can you justify needing that much pot and that many plants to aid your sickness?
Yeah, right now I'm allowed to grow 49 all
wow.
the time.
And what type of value does that hold?
Well, I have a limit of 10 grams per day. It's 300 grams per month.
Wow.
And that's what I use, because every week I go through a pound of canna butter. And a pound of canna butter takes mm-hmm. one full ounce of flower top part of the plant.
And that's to make something like pot brownies or cookies
edibles,
or something like that. Yeah.
Which I take daily and absolutely takes care of all my pain.
So when they did take away your car with all of these different ailments and illnesses, it must have been pretty tough for you to get around and just go through life without a car when you're such a when you have such a sickness.
It sure was, Mitch. In the first 30 or 40 days, I was stumbling home in the ice because it was winter time. So this happened in late January or early February. And I have a history of knee problems, and I'd had 3 or 4 prior knee surgeries in the prior 7-8 years, and I tore my left knee.
When you were in the process of being approved for the MMAR license, you were apprehended. So morally, do you feel like at all that you've broken the law, or is it completely diminished because of your pain? That's the main concern on your mind.
I don't think I've broken any laws. I think I went as far as I could with the pain medication from Big Pharma and their medications, and then they started getting toxic in my system and making me sick. Now, I don't feel I've done anything wrong here. I did what I had to do in order to start feeling better, as conventional means were failing me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I just got word that I'm getting my car back.
Which is excellent news.
The Ontario Attorney General has caved in and decided to give me my car back because two judges in London wanted to give it back to me, but both claimed they didn't have inherent jurisdiction. Well, I went to the Ontario Court of Appeal, and I would have won that case. And they didn't want a precedent-setting case for an S-490 seizure. So he caved and gave me my car back. This prosecution continues, and I have filed many motions against the Crown for improperly doing what she considers her job. Proceeding with this case is just ridiculous. I proved my illnesses and my sickness dating back to the 90s in the first 60 days.
You mentioned about setting a precedent. What about the previous precedents about the Hitzig decision and the Murnoch trial that is benefiting and contributing to your case?
Well, Murnoch has just kind of slowed this thing down. I'm not going to say it's hurting or helping me, but Hitzig is being ignored by the courts or at the very least misconstrued by many Crown attorneys across the country. They aren't using the precedents that were set properly. Okay? They're using every means possible to try and convict sick people of this terrible victimless crime.
What message do you want to send out to those who have maybe a misconstrued perception on MedPot?
I've been using cannabis a very, very long time. It's never hurt me. Everything is healthy as far as my respiratory system is concerned. But the prohibitionists vilify marijuana for profit. They try and mislead people, and they openly tell lies to the public. The police do, law enforcement, okay? And Crown attorneys misrepresent the drug, too, in court, as well as politicians. And it's all for profit, Mitch.
Mike, that's about all the time we have for today. We want to thank you for joining us here on College Confidential, and we wish you all the best of luck with your upcoming trial in January.
Thank you, Mitch.
Ultimately, it comes down to our rights as human beings, especially when it comes to our health. If we are being denied a proven necessity to get by day, then our judicial system and our doctorate system is not honoring our rights as humans. If we can cure cancers or heal osteoporosis, or be completely out of pain after smoking a simple joint, then those with legal acceptance should feel absolutely no pressure from society. Society, however, specifically pertaining to doctors, need to realize that the risk of smoking or ingesting marijuana is much less than many prescription drugs prescribed every single day. For College Confidential, I'm Mitch Berman on 106.9 The X.